Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Hello, hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Relationships Rule. I'm your host, Janice Porter, as usual, and I have a very special guest all the way from Cyprus this week. Her name is Noemi Barris. I should have checked that before I said it. Noemi, I got your first name right. I know that. So Noemi Barris, and we have met a couple of times. And again, as I've said so many times, I met Noemi on LinkedIn. And I just keep repeating that it is a place to meet good people. So I'm very excited about that. And first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me today. I really appreciate that.
You're very welcome. So I know that that you are an entrepreneur, that you have your own business, and your business is all about podcasting. You're the co-owner of the Podcast Connections booking agency, correct?
Yeah, correct.
So tell me a little bit about what you do and tell my audience, you know, what you do and how that all works in your world of podcasting.
Yes, thank you. So we help entrepreneurs to connect to quality podcast shows and enrich their lives through connections. We operate like a PR agency and just solely focusing on podcasts and podcast interviews worldwide. We work with mainly podcasts from the US, Canada, UK, sometimes Australia, New Zealand, very few cases because of times of difference. It's hard.
Yeah. Time zones would be crazy, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
What time is it where you are right now?
It's 7 p.m. It's past 7 p.m. Yeah.
So it's 9. Is it what day of the week? Is it Thursday there?
It's still Thursday. Yeah.
Still Thursday. Okay. See, I never know. Okay. So podcasting has become like, it's just, you know, exploded, right? And so there are, of course, a lot of podcast booking agencies out there. I get pitched all the time by people. I have no idea who they are. They say they've listen to my podcast, but I know by their comments in the thing, they have no idea because they'll send me people that don't even make sense for me. Okay. So when I come across someone who takes the care and really looks for that connection and says to me, as you have on a couple of occasions, I think I have someone that would be a good fit for your podcast. It's that know, like, and trust. Once you get somebody introduced to you by someone like you and it's a good fit, okay, now you open up a little bit more. Now you trust what they're doing and that it's working, and you build relationship, as I have with you, with the agency person, because you want good people and you don't want all these, you know, flaky people that send you weird and there's no heart in much of what they do. So because I know you differentiate, how do you differentiate? How does your agency, you know, stand out amongst that sea of people that send me people?
Yeah, that's a great question. And nobody asked me that question before. Okay. Yes, it's all about human connections. I mean, that's just so important, just connecting with people. And when I connect with a host, I really want to get to know them, not just pitch someone and, you know, just get money or whatever, because clients are paying me to do that. I really want to know you. I really wanted to know Janice Porter, who Janice Porter is. I wanted to know more about what you do, about your business, about your podcast. And yeah, it just starting some kind of relationship with the hosts. Because once we establish that, we trust each other. As once we have trust, we can, you know, we can work together in the future for many, many years to come. And I'm lucky to say that, like, there are so many great podcast hosts in the world out there that I know and I work with, like, every day. And I just love working with them. They are just so important in my life. And they are as important as my clients because, like, yeah, it's an important
It's probably really important that you make the right connections for your clients, because they've invested their time and money with you. And so you know, you want to get it right. And I totally get that. So now I forgot the question I had in my head. It was a good question too, and it completely went out of my head. It'll come back, so I'm not going to worry about it. But so when you're looking to make those connections, like with me, podcast hosts, what are you looking for as a good podcast? What are you seeing as, and I don't mean, you know, well, whatever that means to you, you know, what constitutes, you know, a podcast host worth pursuing?
Right. I mean, it's always about quality, obviously, and it doesn't necessarily mean quantity. Some guests and some of my clients, they just want to be on podcasts. They have like 150 episodes and 95 ratings. And, you know, they have very, very specific expectations about the host. But what I found in my job, that there are so many great, like smaller podcasts out there too, that are quality, but they are niche. So they are in a certain niche, but they're doing an absolutely amazing job. And it doesn't really matter how many episodes they have, as long as they are in your niche and they are great and they have value and they give value to their audience. And it's just so important. Obviously, when we check in our podcast, we use listen notes so we can see what podcasts are in the top 5 to 10%. And we usually work with those podcasts and podcast hosts. I mean, they have to have like we stick to like a certain number of episodes. Obviously, that's important. So when someone just starting out and they have like 5 episodes, we can't really work with them yet. We keep an eye on them and we'll see and we check back and we listen to them. So, you know, what are they doing? How good they are? And to be honest, sometimes I'm the guinea pig. And if the niche is fine, I'll just go on the show and I check them out. And it's a great way to test them because it's fine for me. I don't, you know, that's okay. And yeah, it's a good thing to test out the podcast. But obviously I can't do that with all the podcasts that I'm sending my host. But yeah, I mean, I think it's quality before quantity for sure. And it's not about numbers, not about downloads, not about just listenership, because that's not all. It's important, but that's not all.
Yeah, definitely. I think I agree with you. And you can tell I'm not 100% today. I was just sharing earlier that I sprained my ankle last night. Yeah. I'm not on the top of my game today. What do you think? I was going to say, so yeah, I think when somebody is new, I think you have to see if they're being consistent, if they're going to last, right, for a while before you would invest your time in that. Because I am actually quite proud of the fact that I haven't missed a week, and I'm in 3 years now. So I think,
wow, congratulations. I mean, that's,
I love my podcast because I love talking to people and interviewing people. And you, one thing that you know about me that I have always done is I don't go in blind with my podcast guests. I like to talk to them first, not because I want to plan the podcast, but because I want to build some rapport and feel that it's a good connection for me. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. And 9 times out of 10, it's been pretty good. You know, I've had the odd one that I felt maybe I was afraid to say no, but but it wasn't a comfortable situation. And you can usually tell if that happens. I've never sort of not published or aired an episode, but I know people do that if it doesn't work out in their favor. Have you ever had that happen with people you've placed on podcasts?
Once or twice, rarely, very rarely. I mean, they usually, it happened that, for example, the podcast stopped. That was more often that like a podcast just stopped operating and, you know, something happened in the host's life and they just, yes, they couldn't continue. Yeah, that was like, I didn't really have that once or twice, I think. It's sometimes it's not because of the quality of the guest we send. Right. I don't know what happened. Oh, sometimes it can be anything. Yeah.
So do the majority of people you talk to do what I do or not? Like want to have an intro discussion? Because a lot of them, when I've been a guest on podcasts, they just send me a form and you know, away we go. And that doesn't do it for me.
It's like 50-50. Like some posts, they just want to go straight on the show and they just do the interview. They don't have time and they just do that. And there are hosts that I know a lot and they do pre-calls all the time. As an agent, it's a bit more work.
Of course.
You have to organize, like it's two times. Like you have to organize a pre-call, then you have to organize the interview. But I completely understand your point of view, but because it's just so hard that you meet someone at the first time, obviously because we met before and we had a chat before, so it's just easier. But like somebody just coming to you and say, okay, let's start talking about something. Yeah, I would say it's important to have that common vibe and just get to know each other a little bit, just like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. It doesn't have to be long.
Yeah. Usually, you know, right away anyway.
Yeah.
So when you're priming your clients to be a good podcast guest, what does that look like? What would you say the top three things are for being three, five things, whatever, for being a really good podcast guest from your perspective?
First of all, if you're a great guest, you have to do your research. You have to listen to that podcast at least one episode before your interview. If you have time, do it like more and leave a review. And it's important. And but try to listen to the episode. Try to get familiar with the style, with the vibe, with the topics, and just how they operate, how the hosts operate. It's so important because everyone has a different style, and someone can be like free flow, the other host can be like very strict and just focusing on certain questions. So yeah, just check it out. And which is the second thing, which is really important, is like come always prepared. Don't wing it. It's like, even if you are a seasoned guest, I mean, prepare yourself. And I always do that. Like before every single interview, I try to get ready, like mentally, emotionally, and just get into that space. And I'm going to have an interview. I'm not going to focus on my work today, not today, just for that hour or just before, like 20 minutes. And I'm just focusing on the particular interview because I owe that to the host. I mean, you spend a lot of time, money, energy on these episodes. So let's do that. Let's do the same. And I think it's really important. Then while you're on the show, speak clearly, be engaging, not too stiff, and just try to be conversational and friendly, as if nobody listens to that podcast, just two of you there and just having a conversation, like, you know, in a cafe or, you know, wherever you are, just be engaging and just try to just enjoy that conversation, because that's the most important for both of you. Then obviously be respectful with the host and don't use the host platform, the podcast, as an advertisement for your product, service, book, everything.
Do that. Yeah, there are.
I know they do that.
Wow. Yes. Very interesting when that happens, right? But yes, so that's really good advice. But I agree that I like to sort of set the scene for myself too first, and just, you know, do a little bit of last minute looking at your LinkedIn profile, looking at the notes that I've made, just sort of get into the zone before the call. Today I was nursing my ankle, but
other than that, I was... oh my God, yes.
Anyway, but I was actually fascinated by the fact that you're a linguist. And I want to talk about that for a minute, if I could. I know that's not your world now, but I remember it's a long time ago, but I remember taking a course at university on linguistics. Who does that? Like nobody does.
I know. Who does that? Like you and me.
Yeah. Well, it's a long time ago. But I found language fascinating, etymology fascinating. That's right. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like, I'm a real Jeopardy fan. I watch Jeopardy every night. And so you can get an answer by just looking at the word or getting a sense of, you know, where the word comes from or whatever. And so what drew you to being like, what was that all about when you became a link? You got a master's degree in Danish literature because you went to school in Denmark, correct?
No, you went to school in Denmark, but I completed my master's degree in Hungary, in Budapest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's like, that was just like, that was, I was an exchange student in Denmark when I was a teenager. So that was before university. Yeah. Oh, okay. That's actually goes back to my story because I became an exchange student when I was 16. So I spent an entire school year in Denmark, in like a, went to a Danish high school, lived with a Danish family. And that was before when we used internet and emails and Zoom and, you know, whatever, we just had phones and stuff, like landline, not mobiles. And I'm old.
No, I'm old. That's okay.
And so I stayed there for a whole year. So I learned Danish. I was fluent in Danish by the time I got back to Hungary. So I had like all kinds of language exams and
different languages.
Yeah, compared to Hungarian, it's like we are like different parts of the world and language wise as well, linguistically as well. But it was really fascinating. I mean, Danish is a very strange language for sure. It sounds like, no offense to Denmark, but it sounds weird. But I love it because it's like part of my, you know, heart. It's like whatever. It always stays in my heart, but it's a strange language for sure.
My mother-in-law was Danish and
you know that now. Yes. And I also learned Swedish. So both So that was like very easy to learn. And then I understand Norwegian because of the other two. I can speak Norwegian.
So they're similar. So they're
very similar. They're like neighboring countries and they are just one language group. So it was really, it was easy to learn. So it was fun. So you went to just, you get one master's degree, but then you understood the other and I wanted to study Swedish. And then, that was like a straight choice. And my dad wanted me to be a lawyer or doctor, whatever. But then I told him, no, I want to study Danish linguistics. And it's like, there were about like five girls, including me, in our group. And I mean, there wasn't a huge interest, you know, to do that course. But I enjoyed that and I had a great time and it was a really interesting time of my life. I went spent like 5 years in Budapest in the capital. So unfortunately right now I don't really use Danish, but obviously it's still with me and I love reading Danish books or watching Danish movies and it's fun.
And there's a lot of Danish, really good Danish programming on Netflix.
Yes. Yeah. Amazing movies. Yeah. I love them. Yeah. And I just watch them like in the original language. And it's like, you know, it just flies me back to the old times. It's like, I miss Denmark.
That's fantastic because people in North America do not learn languages the way Europeans and do. And, you know, I'm always in awe of people that speak so many different languages. I think it's amazing. I speak English. That's it. I mean, I took French and Spanish in school, but can I speak it? No, I could maybe read some of it, but that's about it. But I wanted to, I don't know if I did this before, but I wanted to share with you this book that I absolutely adored. And it's about grammar. And I don't know if you ever got into grammar, if linguistics does it? Yeah.
Yeah, we had to. Yeah, we had to.
This is a book, it's written by a British woman, I think. It's called Eat Shoots and Leaves. Did you ever hear?
I didn't, but I would love to read it if it's about like linguistic grammar or anything.
I'll show it to you off air because it's over there in my
cover. You.
Oh my gosh.
I appreciate that.
It's quite funny, actually. It's quite funny. But anyway, I love language and words. And so I was.
Me too. Yeah.
By that. Did you ever think of becoming a international translator or anything like that when you were younger? If you've been listening to me for a while, you probably know that I love to talk about LinkedIn. So now I'm curious, are you ready to take your LinkedIn to the next level? Because if you are, I've got the perfect opportunity for you. As a valued podcast listener, I'm offering you a 1 month free trial to the LinkedIn Advantage program. It's your chance to join the community of like-minded professionals and immerse yourself in a space designed for learning, networking, and growing your business, and a lot of LinkedIn as well. Don't miss out. If you're ready to go from listener to participant, take advantage of this free trial by visiting podcastadvantage.janiceporter.com today. That's podcastadvantage.janiceporter.com. Join us and we'll see you in the group.
At one stage of my life, but what I figured out, I'm not really interested in that. You really have to focus on translation, and it can be really like dry to do translation work. Okay. And plus, after university, I applied for so many jobs in Hungary. They didn't really want me anywhere. And then that's why I ended up abroad, first in Denmark, then in Ireland. And Ireland. Yeah. For 7 years, I've been living in Ireland for 7 years, and it's a beautiful place, and you know, that's again a special place in my heart.
Yes.
Although it's too cold for me, so I had to move to Cyprus.
When did you move to Cyprus?
In 2011. So it's going to be like 13 years in 2024.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Now, I don't know anything really about the island of Cyprus. I'm sure it's beautiful.
It is beautiful. Yeah. It's a divided island occupied by the Turkish army, like a Turkish on the other part. So it's like the capital, Nicosia, is divided. And so the UN troops are still there. But it's like it's peaceful and everything. Because we are in the Greek part and there's the Turkish part.
Oh, I see. Okay. Fantastic. The other thing I have to ask you about, which is again totally unrelated, is about your the collages that you do. So you're a craftsperson as well, right? And you play the drum, hang and frame drum. What is a hang and frame drum? Is it
hang is a hand pan? It's like a metal. No, you have to like put it down because that's huge. Like they are big.
Oh, like
it's
a metal pipe drum. Like
it's a steel drum. It's a steel drum. Yeah, it's not metal steel. Yeah, it's a steel drum, and they are pretty big and heavy. And I got it for my 40th birthday from my mom. It was a birthday gift, so I was just so happy that. But they're quite expensive, so my mom is just like, I want to buy it for you. It's like, oh, thank you. I love it. So I have it here actually in my office. And the frame drum is a frame drum that you hold, and it's like a big frame drum. And they
so you're like beating it this way.
I do it by my hands.
Well,
you hold it. There's like a little thingy on it, and you can just And it's like perfect stress relief if you like. Yeah, after a hard day or during the weekend, I love doing it, and it can be really loud. But we have only one neighbor, so that's fine. He's okay.
Well, you are just a woman of multi talents. I love that.
Thank you.
So I know you weren't expecting me to ask that stuff, but those are the things that interest me. The things that are.
No, I'm happy to answer them. I mean, you know, it's like, it's not only about work, but like that's what builds us up. It's like a puzzle in the puzzle pieces, and that's us. Like,
yeah. So, let's go back for a minute to podcasting, and let me ask you this. Where do most of your clients come from? Do they come from like me, LinkedIn, or do they come from you, from referrals? Do they come from networking events you go to online, or what?
It's now it's word of mouth and referrals. Obviously, at the beginning, when we started our business in 2020, it was all about cold pitching, cold emails, cold LinkedIn messages. That's how we started. I mean, we didn't have any connection in the podcast booking world. I didn't know anything about it. So it wasn't an easy way to learn it, but it was fun. And now referrals, word of mouth. And I have to say, and I have to talk about, I always do, I talk about the GoGivers and the Bob Burke's community, because a lot of my clients, actually, they come from the community. I joined the community, the GoGivers, that was in June, I think. And since then, I just really became like an active member of it. And I enjoy every moment and every meeting we have. And people just started to, you know, they just wanted to work with me. And I'm just so happy to have them in my life, because they are amazing.
Fantastic. That's fantastic. So Bob Berg, who co-wrote the GoGiver back in 2007, who is an amazing a gentleman who actually was a guest on my podcast.
I know that. I listened to that interview.
I know. He was just so special. And I've wanted to have him on for a long time. And it took me, I guess it wasn't meant to be until it was, right? And because another gentleman who's been on my podcast twice, Mark Given, who's a wonderful man, he mentioned Bob. And I said, you know him? And he said, well, yeah, I do. I haven't talked to him for a while. I said, would you introduce me? I'd love to have him on the podcast. He said, of course. And it happened like the next week that I spoke to him. So it was really cool. So I'm interested in looking forward to, you know, checking out that organization with you, because he's just got the right heart, you know? And so the people that are there, I'm sure do too. So that's really cool that you've established yourself as the podcast person to go to there. And I think that's great. I saw a quote that you did the other day that said, podcasts are fuel for the curious mind.
Yes.
So what I'm going to, there's a couple of things I want to ask about that. But first of all, what do you only listen to podcasts that, you know, you're trying to find a place for your clients, or do you have any favorites that you listen to just because?
Because I usually it's work, okay. Obviously, because I check them out. And but I do have one favorite one. And I started to listen to this podcast. I don't know if it's running right now because I haven't listened to it for a while, but it's about music. I love music, you know, I love drumming, and music is my go-to thing when I'm sad, when I'm happy, whatever. And there's like a musician called Josh Klinghoffer. He was the guitarist of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. He started a podcast during the pandemic. And he was talking about music. He invited his friends, and they actually showed very unique music, and they actually played them during the interviews. Okay. And that was so fascinating, and I loved it because that was unique, really, really unique. But I have so many favorite interviews and so many favorite podcast hosts, so I could then listen. You know, I could listen to them all day long.
No, so I just heard some great news because my favorite podcast was Julia Louis-Dreyfus's Wiser.
I remember you said that. Yeah, remember you mentioned
Well, I just that. Saw on Instagram that she won Podcast of the Year somewhere.
Wow.
And there is a season 2 coming. So I'm pretty excited in January, I think, because she is just hysterical. And she interviews women who she believes are wiser than her because they're older than her generally. And she's 62. So there's some really interesting wise women that she interviews. And she really does her homework as a host. I'm so impressed with what she does because she's got producers that feed her stuff to, you know, research for her, but she has to do it, or she'll watch their movies, or she'll, because they're all famous, or read their books or whatever. But it's fascinating. And so I like to listen to podcasts sometimes based on listening to the host and how they the questions they ask, or the way that they operate. So it's kind of fun. But yeah, there's so many now. It's
lots of them, like 3.5 million, four. I don't know. It's just growing numbers.
So you may have noticed on the sheet that I sent you that one of the questions I like to ask my audience is about curiosity, not my audience, my guests. And that's what I want to come back to with that podcasts are fuel for the curious mind. So do you believe that curiosity is innate or is it learned? That's part one. I'll have you answer that first.
That's a very interesting question.
And there's no answer, right? I mean, it's just...
I know. I think it really depends on how you grow up and what kind of family you have. Because my mom was like a kindergarten teacher, and she always like helped me to being curious and to teach me how to learn things. And I always keep learning things. So I don't know. It can be learned if you are with the right people, and especially with kids, because kids are innate, like from the beginning, and we are like that. But then maybe around teenager's age, we just lose that kind of interest in everything. What I noticed with my son, that like he loved reading, and now it's just like, okay, can you read this page? It's like, no, I don't. So it's like, yeah, that kind of curiosity stops for a while. But then I don't know. It's like, I'm 44. It's not a secret about it or anything, but I'm like more curious than ever. So I don't know. It comes with age, or I don't know what's going on, but it's still innate, and it can be learned too. You just have that kind of urge to learn new things. And when you're an entrepreneur, you need to do that. I'm doing that. I've been doing that since 2007, since I became an entrepreneur. So it's just continuous learning and continuous curiosity of new things, and like now AI, or, you know, how to train ChatGPT to do the prompts. And it's just so fascinating. I had a conversation with a host yesterday about that. So it's like, wow.
Totally. Okay. So part two is, what are you most curious about right now?
That's the thing. That's like ChatGPT and how to train it, how to help my work, and still trying to stay original and not to lose my identity by using ChatGPT. So it's the kind of, that's the way I think.
Fair enough. Okay, so that's always fun to find out what people think about that. I've actually done a little bit of a, I did an article on Curiosity, and I started to look back at how many people that I interviewed said one thing and how many have said the other. And it's kind of 50-50. So it's kind of, it's
absolutely. Oh yeah. And there was one more I was really curious about my ancestors. And I just had done an ancestor DNA test a couple of weeks ago, and I got the results last week, and I was like astonished, just like, what? I mean, like it's really fun. Like, it turns out I'm Hungarian. Like, yeah. You know, I was born and raised there. I'm only 1%, less than 1% Hungarian. And my origins go back to Moldavian and Ukrainian, Greek, and something from the Balkan.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. That's the kind of curiosity. It's like, where did I come from? It's like, yeah. Where I'm from, like my ancestors from. So
that's very, very interesting. So what's on the horizon for 2024 for you?
2024 will be a very busy year, and I started to work with a business coach this year, and I actually met her through one of our networking group, and she's amazing. She's from the US, but she lives here in Europe, and we're just working on, my plan is to working less in the business and working on the business, and I think I'm on the right way right now, so I can free up my time, and I can organize a masterclass or workshops for people who want to be podcast guests, and I just want to give my knowledge and share the knowledge with them, and that's why it's important to just restructure my business right now. So it's a big work, and it's hard, but it will worth it, and yeah, that's what I'm looking for in 2024.
See, having people do the research for you to find the hosts and list, yeah, and then
yeah, working with a virtual assistant already for 2 years, so, and she's pretty good at that, but we still need a couple of people on board, so we're expanding. Yeah, it's a very interesting phase of the business. It's very exciting too.
Yeah, that sounds exciting. And do you see a book in your future or a podcast of your own in your future?
Yes, I think I already started to be a podcast host. One of my friends asked me to interview him for an event and a virtual event he's doing, and he's going to hike the Appalachian Trail, and I interview him like every week about it, but I'm just learning it, so I have a lot to learn. I would love to be like you, so it's like, no, so natural.
I didn't have any training to how to be a podcast host. I just just curious, so I just
you're doing an amazing job. and the other thing is, so that's what I'm practicing right now, to how to be a host. It's fun, because it's funny, because I'm always on the other side of the microphone, so it's interesting. And the other thing, what I wanted to say? Yes, about that, the book. Yeah, because I'm an artist, so I make collages, like digital paper and collages on canvas, like hand-sewn collages on canvas. I would love to have a coffee table book with all of my collages, like, you know, beautifully photographed. Yeah. And I would love to write the story of each and every collages that I made, because they usually based on my past, about my family, about my family's history, my memories. And I would love to include that. And that would be like an album or something like that. But that's for the future, not right now.
Very cool. Well, this has been delightful. I've learned a lot more about you, Noemi, and about your business. And I know that we're going to be staying in touch through the next year and see who comes on my podcast from your agency. It's kind of fun to know that that's what you're doing. And I'm always open to speaking to people that come from you. So thank you so much for being here. Any last words for my audience?
Yes. You know, my advice just to people, be consistent and persistent, whatever they do. When it comes to podcast guesting, when it comes to being an entrepreneur or doing their art or whatever, or exercising, it's just being consistent and persistent. And we always reach our goals if we do that.
Thank you. That's great advice. And thank you to my audience again for being loyal and for being here. And if you like what you heard, please let us know. And don't forget to stay connected and be remembered. Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener, because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And you know I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.